Good evening. It's good to be here with you this evening and good for all of you to be with us. We did mention in our, I didn't mention earlier that Joe is still not feeling strong enough to get out much. He's mostly sleeping and just doing very little around the house, watching TV and sleeping. So he's got a doctor's appointment later this week. Maybe they'll help him find something that will help him to be better. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and read the first few verses of that for our text tonight. 1 Corinthians 16, I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as the God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now we've been doing our Sunday night lessons based on our kids' scene cards. And so that's where we are tonight. Previously, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we talked about the idea of love, how important love is, that the spiritual gifts were good for them to have, but Paul said without love, those gifts weren't as meaningful as they would be with love. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are all about the spiritual gifts. And so in chapter 14, primarily the focus is the gift upon which those in Corinth struggled the most because they thought it was the best gift to have and everybody wanted it. And then when they were in their assemblies, several, not just one, might pop up and talk, but several apparently would get up and talk in the same assembly, maybe even at the same time. Now, just to give you an idea of what that would be like, I know you've been to various places of business in our culture now where people who speak a different language than American either run the place or they're in there shopping. And if they're talking to each other in those languages, we don't understand what they're saying because we don't know. We don't know Spanish much at all, maybe some few words like I remember from taking Spanish in the ninth grade, in 10th grade, but not enough to be conversant. And certainly if they're talking in something from one of the eastern countries like China or Japan or whatever, that's even worse because I've never studied any of that. So just imagine then if you had somebody that stood up in our assembly and one of them was speaking Russian and one was speaking German and one was speaking Greek, and then we were trying to have a session in English, how confusing would that be? And how would that sound? And Paul told them that unless there was an interpreter there, that they shouldn't even speak in their tongues because nobody gets edified by that because nobody knows what he's saying. And so that's what chapter 14 is about. Chapter 15 is about the gospel and the resurrection of Christ. And we covered that pretty well this morning in that lesson. But now we are to where we are tonight, the first part of chapter 16, which is about the contribution. And so I want us to think about what we read in those first few verses. It has to do with the collection for the saints. Now we sometimes refer that as to the offering. Sometimes we talk about it as giving. Sometimes we refer to it as the collection. But that is what we're talking about in this particular text. And Paul had directed other churches. You know, the churches in Galatia were multiple congregations, not just one like at Corinth. But he had directed them, as he's also then directing the church at Corinth, that they should be making a collection. And he says, on the first day of the week. Now when we go to that, when we were in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and we discussed the first day of the week, we said every week has a first day. Every week has a Sunday. And so they were assembling together during the first century every first day of the week. But they needed to be doing all these things. And Paul is saying every first day of the week, Now, the word every is not in the King James text, but in the Greek word that implied that it's in there because of the wording of that. That those people were to lay by in store. In other words, to contribute. As they had been prospered. As they had been prospered. And that was so that they were collecting in a special way a gift that would be going from these congregations in Galatia and in Corinth and other places as Paul would make these collections if they chose to send it with him, or if they chose, as he said here, if you have two or three people that you want to send along with a letter to take this to Jerusalem, that would be good. And if you want me to go with them, that would also be good. Whatever you want to do. But that was to take to Jerusalem because in Jerusalem they were suffering from the effects of a long famine. And so these Gentile churches were now having an opportunity to help out their Jewish Christian brothers in the area of Jerusalem. And that's what this text is about. But we want to think then how this applies. This is a proof text for us about giving of our means back to God to be used in the Lord's service. Well, we have various things that the funds are used for here to maintain the building, to help those that are preaching in foreign lands like Dorian, and to pay the expenses that are involved in keeping the building so we have a common place where we can assemble. We have examples throughout the Bible of the mindset that existed about giving to God. And so this lesson is going to be kind of about that. In Genesis 14:20, and then it's referred to in Hebrews 7, that Abraham encountered a priest of God named Melchizedek. And Abraham determined to give him 1/10 of the spoils from what they had done when that he had prospered. 1/10. That's what Abraham gave. In Genesis 28, Jacob, in an encounter with the Lord, pledged to give him 1/10. You can see there's a kind of a common thought here. Under the law of Moses, it was required, Leviticus 27, that they gave 1/10, plus there were free will offerings that they gave in addition to that. That's under the law of Moses. In Malachi 3, 8-10, that's towards the end of the Old Testament. This is during the times when they had come back from their Babylonian captivity. And God was saying to the people through Malachi that you have been robbing me by not giving your tithes. Robbing me, God said. Now that's Old Testament examples. What about in our time? Because the word tithe is not used under the New Testament as far as our instruction for giving. But here's what we have. We have the text that we read just a while ago. As you have been prospered. As you have been prospered, laid by in store. In 2 Corinthians 9 he says, God loves a cheerful giver, not one who gives begrudgingly. One who feels like that it's mandatory for him to give, and it's almost like twisting his arm that he has to give. We're supposed to want to give. Want to give to God, back from that which He's prospered us with. In Hebrews 7, 8, and 9, this is an interesting thought. I can't claim credit for this thought on my own. I got it from reading some things that Wayne Jackson wrote on this topic. But in Hebrews 7, 8, and 9, we would learn that the new covenant under which we are God's children, the New Testament, the new covenant, is better than the old covenant, which was the law of Moses that the Israelites were under. It's better because it has a better high priest. Jesus is a better high priest than the priesthood of Aaron. Because Jesus, unlike all the earthly priests, Jesus never sinned. Even though He was tempted in every way like we are, He didn't sin. Therefore, He's a better high priest than the priesthood of Aaron. He's a better sacrifice than the sacrificing of all those animals that they did during all those years of the old law. Jesus died once for all. The differences are these. Number one, Jesus was not an animal. Sheep and cows and so forth, goats, those are animals. They're not susceptible to being tempted to sin. Therefore, they couldn't sin. But Jesus was tempted like we are, yet without sin. His sacrifice is better than theirs. All those animals that they offered during all those years didn't remit the sin of one man, even though God told them to do them. But the blood of Jesus in that one sacrifice remitted the sins for all. And plus, then there's this. The new covenant has better promises than the old covenant. The old covenant could not bring people to forgiveness of sins. It rolled them over year after year after year. When you read in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about that. That the blood of bulls and goats could not wash away those sins, and it just rolled them forward to the next year. They had a remembrance of them every year when they offered those sacrifices again. But when Jesus died, it was for the forgiveness of sins for those who would be His. So we have a better covenant because it has better promises, a better high priest, a better sacrifice. And any other way we could compare, it would be better. So the thought then was this. If we're under a better covenant now, should we determine that we ought to be able to give less than they gave under those previous covenants? I think about how I'm asking that question. Is it right for us to say, I'm not under the Old Testament, I'm not under the patriarchal law, I'm under the New Testament, and it's a better covenant, therefore I don't have to give as much as they had to give? Does that make sense to you? Doesn't to me. That's what Wayne Jackson was asking. We should not determine to give less because we're under a different covenant, but really because of the more that's been done for us, we should be willing to gladly to give more because of what He's done for us. So let's summarize this. In John 3:16, God gave us His only begotten Son to be a sacrifice for us. He died on the cross for our sins. Christ gave, Philippians chapter 2, that even though He didn't think it would robbery to be considered equal with God, He gave up that. At least for temporary, He came down, it says He put on flesh and blood like we have. He became a servant, not a king, to serve us, to serve man. And He says, and He was willing to be obedient to the Father's will, even when it meant dying on that cross. So God gave us His Son to be our sacrifice. His Son gave His life for us. Not because we're good, not because we're righteous, but because we were sinners and we needed it. And thus He did that for us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we can now think we have received God's gift of grace through faith. He says, by faith, you're able to stand in this grace. That's an awesome gift that He gave us, manifested in His Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5, we've received Christ's gift too, because it says we've been washed by His blood. If we're one of His children, we've been washed in His blood. And not just in our baptism. Certainly, when we obey the gospel, we get to the point of baptism and we submit to that, it says that we have our previous sins washed away. And now, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. But 1 John 1:7 and following says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and guess what? The blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from our sins. Because part of walking in the light is when we make those mistakes in our life and we have bad judgment, that if we're willing to repent, confess those sins, that He's willing then to forgive us of those sins because the blood of Christ is still there for us. What an awesome thing that He's given for us. Therefore, we should feel honored to be able to give to God. There's more to giving than just giving of our money, however. I mean, that's often the focus when we talk about this, and the word tithe comes up, and we think about giving 10% of our money, whatever. But the focus of giving to God is, it doesn't end with what we put in the collection plate. It has to do with how much time are we willing to give Him to read and to pray and to study and to help others when we have opportunities. It's all about basically giving our lives to Him, is it not? We give our life to Him because He gave His life for us. But maybe you're here this evening and you've not done that, that you've not obeyed the gospel and put Christ on in baptism. Or maybe you have done that in the past, but you're not living the kind of life that's exemplary of a Christian. You're not letting your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. You're not walking in the light. You're instead more interested in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, instead of focusing on that which is from God. If that's the case for you this evening, we want to help you, and we urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. Won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?